The European Union seems fed up with Russia for its alleged support of the rebels in Ukraine. And today, the EU imposed broad new sanctions on Russia's state banks, as well as on some of its defense and energy sectors. It also targeted members of Vladimir Putin's inner circle. Matthew Dalton is with the Wall Street Journal. He joins us from Brussels. Elaborate for us a bit, Matthew, on what kind of squeeze the EU is actually trying to put on Russia.
Well, it's the first step in so-called phase three sanctions, which are the economic sanctions across entire sectors of the Russian economy. Until now, the EU and the US also have been targeting individuals and a few individual companies with sanctions. This is the first time that they've targeted entire sectors. For example, they're restricting the ability of Russia's state-owned financial institutions to raise capital and financing on European capital markets. There will be an arms embargo between Russia and the EU.
I notice that Russia's giant oil company Gazprom is not there. Rosneft, the state-owned oil and gas company. Why did the EU leave those off the list?
Well, that would be significantly beyond where the EU is prepared to go because the EU buys a lot of its energy from those two companies.
Right. So the EU is trying to be a little politically expedient about all of this. But then I have to ask, do these sanctions have any real teeth?
They do. I think for Russia, they will have teeth. Russian financial institutions not being able to borrow, not being able to raise equity on European markets is a pretty big deal, and it could raise the cost of financing for the Russian economy. It could cause the ruble to devalue further. It could cause Russia to burn through some foreign currency reserves supporting these banks, which is not a light thing for the Russian government.
Do you see any scenarios in which the proposed sanctions that we're hearing about, could they backfire on Europe in any way?
Well, I think Russia will certainly retaliate against particular sectors of the European economy. If you're a Western company, a European or American company in Russia right now, you're going to have a lot to worry about. I don't think the government is going to be kind to you right now.
When you say the Russian government isn't going to be kind to people who are European or U.S. business types, what does that mean?
Well, I think you've seen hints of it already. For example, there were increased health inspections of McDonald's in Russia.
Right.
There was a bill introduced on Tuesday that would effectively prevent the big four accounting firms, PricewaterhouseCoopers and KPMG, from doing business in Russia. So This is something that is definitely going to be worrying a lot of American firms in Russia that have, since the end of the Cold War, started doing a lot of business there.
I'm curious to know, too, in Brussels, like what the discussion is like between the European countries. I mean, Netherlands just lost nearly 200 of its citizens on the MH17 over Ukraine. On the other hand, other countries are worried about gas coming in. Is there a polarizing kind of thing going on in Brussels?
There was a debate before the Malaysian Airlines crash about countries that were more hawkish and those that were more dovish, more worried about the economic impact. However, what the crash did was it moved the entire debate closer to the hawkish side. The hawkish nations became more hawkish and the dovish nations became significantly less dovish. The most drastic shift was in a country like the Netherlands, where it almost lost 200 citizens in that crash. They went from being a very cautious player in this debate to being on the hawkish side. And that really kind of tipped the balance towards moving ahead with economic sanctions against Russia.
Matthew Dalton with the Wall Street Journal in Brussels. Thanks for your time.
You're welcome.